The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Hi guys, let's go ahead and get started. Yeah. First of all, welcome. It's exciting to see so many of you guys here for what is an optional meeting over lunch with no pizza. It's impressive. So we're excited that you're all here. My name is Meredith Renegar. I am one of the co-chairs of the Joint Journal Committee. This, of course, like I said, is the optional kind of journal interest meeting. So let's go ahead and get right started. You guys probably have heard about this thing called Write On that everyone says you should do. You probably don't know who puts it on, who's running it. The Joint Journal Committee is the student-run organizational committee that administers and oversees all journal competitions. There are 12 members of the JJC. There are two editorial board members from each of the five journals who represent the interests of their own journal. And then there are two neutral chairpersons. I'm one, and then my co-chair, Risha Gupta, you will be seeing later at the mandatory meetings. You guys will be seeing a lot of us as you move through the write-on process if you choose to move forward. And we have several goals. We maintain the integrity and fairness of all the competitions, which is obviously very important to us. We take it extremely seriously. We guarantee the anonymity of all the participants, which is also extremely important for you guys. We generate interest in the journal community, which is what we're doing here today. We serve as a point of contact for all your general journal inquiries. And last but not least, this is our least favorite part of the job, we resolve disputes arising from competitions. Unfortunately, this is an unfortunate side effect. Every year, there's something we have to resolve, whether it be an honor code violation, confusion within the packet materials, whatever that may be. You'll be working with us and any members of the administration, tech, Dean Jaffe, anyone like that. Will help resolve those disputes. So, to be clear, the goal of this meeting, like I said, is to generate interest in the journal community, and it's gonna give you guys an opportunity to ask some questions to all of our illustrious editors we have sitting here today. This is not a meeting about write-on. The write-on logistics meeting is gonna happen. There's gonna be two meetings, February 24th and 25th. You will need to sign up on the competitions tab of MyWCL to attend one of those meetings. And just so we're clear, and you guys should have gotten a really detailed email all about this entire process yesterday from the Student Affairs Department. So you need to sign up for Write On and to attend one of those meetings starting February 16th at midnight, and that portal will close February 23rd at 11:59 p.m. So you have a pretty wide window of time where you can sign up. However, if you fail to sign up during that time, you cannot participate in the write-on. There are almost no exceptions except for exigent circumstances, which it's a really high bar. You'll be seeing emails from us. There are announcements on the TVs. There are announcements in the elevator. They're gonna be everywhere. There's a sign in the lobby. Hopefully your friends are gonna be talking to you about it so you won't forget. But do know that you have to sign up for one of those meetings. That's pretty much the extent that we're gonna talk about write-on today. Other than that, please read that email we sent out carefully, and the rest we'll cross when we get to it. Okay, so what is a law journal? At WCL, a journal is defined as a scholarly publication that has received approval by the SBA, the dean, and the entire faculty to receive funding, support, and rights granted to other officially recognized journals at WCL. So, thus, you should feel confident that if you do eventually join a journal, you should know that each of the publications represented here today is highly respected, widely distributed, and has the full support of the WCL community. So, the next thing, journals require a two-year commitment. This is why you are only eligible to participate in the write-on competition if you are a 1L or a part-time 2L who has not previously competed in the write-on or grade-on competitions. Journals have an orientation, all journals. So this will generally happen pretty quickly after you guys are extended an offer, generally it's that first weekend after you get your offers in April. All journals require an hours commitment. Basically what this means is every year you're going to need to complete 160 hours of service for your journal as a junior staffer. And to that effect, each week, generally you're required to complete regular office hours. Generally, depending on the journal, it might vary, but generally it's a 2-hour requirement each week, during which time you'll be required to perform all sorts of tasks, and we'll get into that a little later with our panelists here. But 2 hours a week where you'll be in the office performing editorial tasks in the name of the production process. All journals require staff to write a note or comment. We'll also discuss this more in a bit. But basically, this is anywhere from like 40 to 60 page paper on a novel legal topic of your choice. You'll be working generally with a student editor on the journal as well as an advisor professor who will help you through the process. And there's different schedules that each of the journals have, and each of the journals take different approaches, but that is a requirement of all the journals. One of the benefits to that is that most 1Ls choose to use that comment as their upper-level writing requirement, and that fulfills the administration's requirements for that. All journals require spading. That's a very interesting term of art. You probably have no idea what that means. Basically, that is source collection, site checking, things like that. Each journal has different things that are encompassed in their spading, but rest assured, if you are participating in a journal, you will be spading, whatever that means for each journal. All journals for all this work, you're thinking, what am I getting out of this? You're getting a lot. However, you're getting credits for membership. As a junior staffer, you will receive 2 credit hours for all of your time and effort. And generally, you can disperse those credits over the course of the year how you choose. 1 and 1, 0 and 2, 2 and 0, you get the idea. And lastly, all journals may be listed as law reviews for the purpose of on-campus recruitment and clerkship applications. This is to be contrasted with brief membership. I know a lot of you are probably on briefs, which are amazing opportunities, great publications, and a lot of us work closely with some of our briefs. However, you should know that this is one aspect where briefs are different than journals. Only the 5 WCL law journals, members can only call themselves law review members if you're on one of these 5. Okay, like I said, how to join a law journal, there are 2 ways. The write-on competition, which I've mentioned, it takes place over spring break. It's an opportunity for you to join one of WCL's 5 law journals by writing a 2,000-word case note using a closed universe of sources. This means you don't have to do any research. We give it all to you. Like I said, we already talked about the portal opening and closing. And the second way to join a law journal is the grade-on competition. The grade-on competition takes place over the summer and gives you an opportunity to join one of the 5 journals based solely on your cumulative GPA. Just a note of caution, we do encourage everyone to participate in write-on. You can hedge your bets and only participate in grade-on. However, there's no guarantee that your cumulative GPA will qualify you for one of the journals. And we cannot predict accurately where any kind of cutoff will be. So it's in your best interest to participate in write-on. And it's a great academic experience, learning experience, what have you. Okay, so now we're going to meet our illustrious journal editors who are here with us today. So, Jasani.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to see all of you here. My name is Jasani Michelle. I am the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Gender, Social Policy, and Law.
Absolutely.
So one thing I will say is you will have a wonderful and very rewarding experience regardless of which of the journals you write or grade onto. But JGSPL, as are all of these journals, is a very well-recognized and highly reputed journal. We are 1 in the country in the topical area of gender, sexuality, and the law. And that is a reputation of which we are very proud and work very hard to maintain, which means as both a junior and senior staffer on our journal, you are going to work hard. Over the years, we've developed a reputation as the fun journal, which I'll take.
Although we dispute that.
It for us, that basically means that although you will be working hard, we like to know that our staffers are having a good time. And that means social events. That means that our office space is a very comfortable, very welcoming space. There's always candy. There's always coffee. And, of course, we'll be happy to see and welcome all of you at the open house after this.
Great. My name is Miles Galbraith. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American University Law Review. And just a few points about that. So we are the flagship legal publication of the Washington College of Law. We're the oldest, we're the largest, and we're the highest ranked. We're proud that this year we bumped up to the rank of 38 in the nation among all journals, which is really great. It's great to be just a touch above even our own law school's ranking. So we are kind of more of a traditional law review, so we publish on all different areas of the law. Some of these here are specialized journals who publish on international law or administrative law, but we publish on those issues and everything else. So if you were to come and work as a junior staffer for us, you could write your comment on absolutely any topic. What else? We publish 6 issues a year, which is a lot, and what that equals is more opportunities for you to get published. We publish up to 4 student-written pieces per issue times 6. That's a lot of opportunities to get published, and that's wonderful. Another special thing about the Law Review is we hold 2 huge events per year. One is a symposium on a new topic each year. This year, actually, Meredith ran a symposium on greenhouse gases and energy issues, which she has an interest in. Last year was on cybersecurity. That changes from year to year. And then every year, we also have a big event on issues related to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. Both of those events are held downtown at law firms. These are awesome opportunities to meet judges, practitioners, and network. What else can I tell you? Another thing I'd point out is that a majority of the Law Review staff do other things at the law school, too. They do moot, they do mock trial, they do clinic. So while there is a time commitment with Law Review, you will work hard. You can do a lot of other things, too. And like JGSPL, we have fun. We have regular social events, happy hours. We do events with alumni. And we also do some community service projects throughout the year, which has been one of the coolest things that I think we've done as a group to get to know each other. We go down to soup kitchens and things across D.C. And then we are the Journal Olympics champions 2 years from now. I'd like to highlight that. And finally, just thank you guys for being here. I encourage you to do Write On. You'd be happy on any of these journals. And you're already a step ahead of everyone else in showing your interest in being here today. So thank you, guys. And I'll be around for the open house this afternoon. Please stop by, and you can ask me questions one-on-one.
Hi, everyone. My name is Sarah Lacey. I'm the editor-in-chief, current editor-in-chief of the Administrative Law Review. As actually both Jasani and Miles mentioned, we have very similar makeup. All of the journals do, in fact. We all do symposia every single year and those types of things. Everyone's working really hard to kind of bolster the job opportunities and networking opportunities that come through journal, because we know what it's like out there for rising 2Ls and especially rising 3Ls. And so it's really a supportive community in that sense as well. Please do stop by at the open house. I will be there all afternoon, as well most of our senior leadership, so you can stop by and ask any questions you have. The one thing on content that's different for the Administrative Law Review is that we're actually the only student-run publication of the American Bar Association. So our school actually has a contract with the ABA's Administrative and Regulatory Practice section, and we're their publication. Basically what that means is that we report out to the ABA, but we're still entirely student-run. Administrative law and regulatory practice is something that you guys probably would not have touched on yet in your training here, but maybe if you're taking public law as your 1L elective, which I think is also offered. Administrative law is basically the study of our government, everything that goes on within it, all of our public service entities. What that means also is that anything that touches regulation or regulatory field will be something that touches on the kind of impact of this journal. That said, the practice section is our main distribution line, and that's 8,000 practitioners, primarily based here in Washington, D.C., because, as you know, we're the hub of government, which is why a lot of us are probably at this school. And so that's kind of the different angle. As we mentioned, that's a little strange. I know it's hard to understand sometimes how these are topical, but what actually ends up happening is that, much like international, much like business, much like administrative, much like the Gender Journal, and like AULR, really any topic you're interested in could be kind of carved into one of these areas. Administrative law is absolutely international. International is absolutely administrative, and back and forth. So the common thing is really kind of an opportunity for all of our students on all of the journals to build expertise in something you want to kind of shine in and have on your resume forever. That is going to be something you're able to do on all of the publications. If you're interested in specific questions for this journal or anything around it, please come by the open house. Encourage others to do it. And the only final note, listen to Meredith with the requirements. Tell all of your friends to listen to Meredith with those requirements her write on. We cannot reiterate enough, and we'll probably try to tell you 150 times from now on. Tell all your friends, if they even are remotely interested, you have to follow those instructions to a T. So I'm really happy you're all here. I hope you all continue with the process. It's a really great and rewarding opportunity.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mary Gritton. I'm the editor-in-chief of the International Law Review. ILR publishes 5 issues of international legal scholarship every year. So, like Sarah was saying, that touches on anything. We publish international trade, arbitration, human rights law, labor and employment. Anything you're interested in can have an international law perspective. We have a really close relationship with WCL's international law faculty and with the international law program. So if you want to write your comment on an area you're really interested in, which I recommend doing, you should talk to a professor and get them to be your advisor and develop a close relationship with that international law professor. We are consistently ranked one of the top most cited international law journals in the country. We're unique in that we're the only journal in the country outside of Puerto Rico that also publishes in the Spanish language. So one of our issues every year, the Human Rights Academy issue, publishes on human rights three articles in English and 3 in Spanish. So if you speak Spanish and you want to hone your legal Spanish and your editing skills, this is a great opportunity. ILR, like all the other journals, works hard and plays hard. So we have games in the office when office hours assignments aren't around. People are playing Bananagrams and Jenga. They were playing Jenga last night until like 10 p.m. And we're having our banquet. All the journals have banquets every year. It's a great opportunity to bond. All of these journals are great as a community past your 1L year to meet people outside of your section. So it's hard to meet people outside of your section 1L year, and this is a great way to have other friends in the smaller WCL community. Quick plug for our symposium. It's on Tuesday if you want to attend. It's on international trade and the environment. And the USTR is coming to speak, so that should be really great. And finally, I've spoken to 1Ls who are really nervous about the comment writing process and are potentially deterred from participating in journal because they don't want to write a 40 to 60 page paper. You are going to have to complete your upper level writing requirement at some point. So this is a great way to have that support of the journal, to have our editors working with you, and to write it on a topic you're interested in. So don't be deterred by the comment. You're going to have to do it either way, and we offer you a great support system for that.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vesna Hrathik. I am actually the new editor-in-chief of the American University Business Law Review. So I am technically still a junior staffer, so if you guys have any specific questions on what it's like to be a junior staffer on one of the journals, please come up to me afterwards. So one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that we are the only law review in the nation's capital that's dedicated solely to business law issues. I think that this gives us a huge edge in the business law community of DC and in other cities as well. There's a lot of networking opportunities, and this is something that we really pride ourselves on. However, even though we are a more specialized law review, our interpretation of business law is pretty broad. We have writers and practitioners writing about all different types of topics. Some of the more business-heavy topics like securities law or antitrust, but also things like entertainment law, copyright, sports law, anything that's related to business law issues. Just the other day, for example, I went to a business law and human rights law event. One example of our broad conception of business law is our symposium this year. So that will be held at the end of March, and it's about national security law. And we thought that in light of everything in the news regarding the NSA and surveillance programs, it would be very interesting to hold a symposium on this. We're also, like the other law reviews, we are also very fun. One thing that I was really excited about when I first joined is that our law review especially is very, very close, and I made some of my best friends here. I'm sure that everyone else can agree. Some of my best friends at the law school I met through the write-on process and then when I joined a journal.
I don't have anything to add. I'm the outgoing senior note and comment editor, and the specific date for the symposium is March 28th. Please, sir.
Great. Well, thank you guys all for the introductions. Basically, you've now heard from the journals, you've heard them introduce themselves. I'm now actually going to try to grill them with some questions that hopefully will give kind of a broad overview and answer some of the general questions that I'm guessing you guys might have. And then we're going to open up the floor for questions. So after that, please feel free to ask any of our panelists here, any questions that we haven't covered, any outstanding issues that you may have. As I've mentioned, and as you've heard our panelists mention, there's an open house today. So after this, from 1:30 to 5:30, you should feel free to go up to the journal offices. They're on the 6th floor. They're in the hallways behind the cafeteria on either side. If you walk kind of back to the vending machines and take a left, and then there's journals on that wall, and take another left, and the rest of the journals are on the far wall. I believe there are baked goods. And there's some excited staff members there who I think would probably love to talk to you guys. So please don't be afraid to venture up there, and don't make all of us eat all of baked goods. That would be unfortunate.
Just come in.
Okay, so some panel questions. Jasani, I'm going to start with you. Can you please explain the role of a junior staffer?
Okay. So first and foremost, junior staffers are 2Ls. And 2L,
Part-time 2Ls.
And so when you do write-on, when you do grid-on, you will come in as a junior staffer. And the most important thing to note about being a junior staffer is you are the beginning of the process. So you are the beginning of the publication process. Whether that is spading or source collecting or reviewing a book that the editors have already gone through the process for, you are the basically first in line in reviewing and editing the publication before it goes up the chain. And that makes your role as a junior staffer fundamental, because any mistakes you make go up the chain. But when you do really good work, it makes everyone else's process easier, and it means that the journal produces a better product through and through. And so in your second year, for instance, the 3L, you would then move on to being a senior staff.
You guys just jump in if you want to follow up with anything. But I think that was perfect.
I think the one thing I would add it's difficult. Even I think that junior staffers, so rising senior staffers now, people who have been through every year, it's very hard to get the context for how important it is, that initial line of editing, because even just understanding that we as students are doing this alone is a very strange concept. But we're essentially getting work from authors that usually the EIC has selected. I think everyone does that. EIC selects, and then it goes out to a team of people who work on one piece, and you get a section, right? And so you're a first line saying, like, you're in charge of fixing all of the footnotes and actually adding, suggesting discretionary changes to the text. And it's all track changed, and you work with an editor who works with an editor who works with an editor. And so it's like a team, it's still a team process, but that's where your skill, and that's why journal kind of sets people apart on, if you're trying to understand why journal is so important, why do I want to do this? It means you automatically know how to edit, read, and write very effectively, quickly. And so that's kind of what you gain as a junior staffer immediately.
It also means that you have a really high attention to detail. So I think that as a 1L and even as a 2L, I assumed that authors blue booked really well. Like, they've been lawyers forever. They must know the blue book.
that's not their job. Their job is to think really brilliant thoughts and then make us do all the work. So you'll use your legal rhetoric skills and you'll have your blue book constantly, and that's kind of what this foundational role is that you have, is fixing a lot of the footnotes and making edits.
I have something really quick to add. Besides all the editing experience and blue booking experience that you get, I think that's something that's really advantageous, is that when you do edit certain number of footnotes, you're actually getting articles from practitioners and academics all over the country, and they're usually writing on very interesting topics, and you get to actually read through those articles and learn new and exciting things. So that's something that I really like as a junior staffer as well, not just editing, but taking advantage of this learning experience.
Miles, can you explain the options for participation as a senior staffer versus an editorial staff member?
Sure, absolutely. So after being a junior staffer as a 2L, you will become a senior staffer. Their roles are pretty similar. You have a lot of the same jobs. You can also apply to become a member of the editorial board, and there are a wide variety of editor positions, including known common editors who work with junior staffers on their comments. There are articles editors who help review all the many thousands of submissions that we get each year and choose those articles for a publication. And then you have a variety of other editors who are kind of the leadership of the journal, managing editor, executive editor, editor-in-chief, and so on. So there are options for third-year students as well. Anybody else want to add to that?
Mary, do you want to talk about the credit differences between senior and editorial board positions?
So as a 3L, if you choose to be a senior staff, that means that you're kind of continuing along with your duties as a junior staff. You're doing the same spading. You're still getting your 2 credit hours, 2 for your junior staff year and 2 for your senior staff year. If you apply and get onto the editorial board, then you can get 4 credit hours. So you can, again, disperse those however you want, 4 and 0, any combination. And obviously with that comes a greater responsibility and greater time commitment.
One thing I'll add, I actually didn't realize until I was on a journal that you actually don't have to take the credit either. It's just there if you need to kind of like add a buffer to your schedule if you're writing your comment during the school year. But I wrote in the summer, and I didn't end up needing the credit. And so I was sitting there with an overload for credits I actually didn't need. I remember sitting in the registrar and figuring that out and feeling silly for paying the school for something that was not required. So it's just something to keep in mind in your own scheduling and thinking about it.
So we've covered a little bit. We talked about office hours, but let's see. Sarah, do you want to talk about generally what kind of tasks you guys assign during office hours?
Sure. So office hours, I'm assuming it works pretty similarly across the board. We actually have people come in biweekly, and so you're in twice a month for 2 hours, and then it kind of switches your date and time, switches according to your class schedule, and you sign up for them, so it works with your schedule. The tasks can vary. For instance, we did like alumni data mining when we like used our old math heads, and so people were doing that. We also have a new student publication, which is the ALR Accord. It's a new online student publication, and so a lot of the initial editing actually happens in office hours. And so you basically go to a folder and you're reading through the student's work. You do what the equivalent is of spading, but it's not to the same kind of level of rigor, and that varies. Sometimes if there's nothing to do, you are allowed to just sit there and do your homework and have a presence in the office. It's also to make sure that there's some continuity in the community, and so it is not terribly uncommon that people, you know, we're okay, everyone, we don't have any assignments, and that you guys are just able to kind of do homework and just be there.
Vesna, why don't you talk about getting credit hour, or excuse me, logging hours for like other activities. I'm assuming, you know, for like a happy hour you might get some credit.
Right. So one thing to the office hours, there's also other types of activities assignments that we get in office hours. I'm sure this is also common with the other journals, but we have, for example, for our upcoming symposium, we were given assignments to reach out to different practitioners in the area and really do a lot of the PR and advertising for it. So different things like that, not just editing and like source collecting and
uploading articles and things like that, but other more fun assignments. As for logging hours, I think every single journal has happy hours and alumni events and, again, symposia. So there's, and you can, I mean, you can even go to your editorial board and come up with a great idea for an event as well. So I don't know if anyone wants to add.
So okay. All of those count towards your 160 hours requirements. Yeah. Fun stuff counts too, as well as spading.
Yeah, that's the punchline, is that it's not 160 hours of editing and, you know, time spent with your nose and a book or computer. You know, if you go, if there's a you know, a charity event or a volunteer event, you know, a service event, those hours will count towards the 160. So your 160 hours is just, you know, it's a requirement of the administration to make you accountable for the credit hours that you can receive, as Sarah has said.
Can you just say one other thing? Most people reach their hours. I mean, I know very few. Can't even name one person who has not reached their hours. So I know the number sounds, 320 hours sounds like a lot, but it's really not, because once you count the assignments you're going to be doing, your office hours, the happy hours, the committees that you might be on, it is absolutely reachable.
Miles, why don't you talk about some of the benefits of being on a journal?
Sure. I think the biggest one is just getting just top-notch research and writing skills, and skills that you can show and prove to a prospective employer that you have. So when you go into an interview, being able to say that you're part of the law review or a journal, that's hugely beneficial. And that gives you kind of a stamp of approval that you have those requisite skills. That's number one. Also, another benefit is just having a group of, like, really fun, smart people around you that become your best friends in law school, and each law review office is kind of a fun, safe place to hang out and study and chat and have fun. So that's another one. Another side benefit that I would highlight is that the law review, and maybe you guys have this too, is we have this massive database of outlines from past years. So for almost every professor, almost every class, we have outlines from past students who got A's in those classes. So that's a little sidecar too.
Follow up? Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
And just general advice, and just everyone on the staff is super friendly, and you know, senior staffers and people on the editorial board, they're so open to telling you what teachers are the best, like what classes are the best. So just general advice, I think it's very, very valuable.
Yeah, and there are also long-term benefits to being on the journal. The folks you work with are your peers, and you learn each other's working style, you learn each other's strengths, and these folks are going to be referring clients to you later on in life, and that's something that is not easy to realize right now, but it's something that's very valuable, and a lot of alums told me about different opportunities they passed along with colleagues that were once in their journal at law school. So,
yeah, I think no one else is going to say it. I will. So Miles mentioned that being on a journal is kind of an immediate stamp of approval. One way that I kind of describe it is, you know, employers look through a million different resumes. They see lots of different things on those resumes. And a lot of times they may not know what a certain organization is. They may not be familiar with a certain opportunity. One thing I can say for all five of these publications is that if you have you know, their name and your title as a junior staffer, or, you know, in the next year as an editorial board member, what have you, there's not a practitioner the world over who does not understand what it means to be on a law journal. It is pretty much the oldest and most customary kind of mark of achievement in the law school extracurricular world. So it's highly regarded. And I think everybody would agree with that statement. So let's see, what else? So briefly, why don't a couple of you talk about the extracurricular you know, outreach or service organizations that you guys have participated with? Vesna, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, I'm currently on a clinic right now. My clinic isn't part of the general American University clinical program. It's the Unruh Human Rights Litigation Clinic, and I find that it's very easy to balance my time and be involved in other things. So for my clinic, I have to clock a minimum of 15 hours, but I usually do 20 to 25 per week. So it's not hard to balance journal life with other activities. And I know a lot of people on our staff are on moot court, mock trial, other briefs as well to get more writing experience. So
all of our staff members balance a million different things. People do PILPG, people do clinic, people do trial ed. Miles is doing trial ed. But also our journals participate in extracurricular things. So I know that Miles was saying AULR went to soup kitchens, and we all had an interjournal competition raising, collecting donations for the food bank. So we're all really involved in the WCL community and the DC community as far as.
We started to characterize the time commitment. Basically, I think one of the questions that 1Ls often have is, you know, is this opportunity exclusive and preclusive of, you know, getting involved in other things? And, you know, Vesna kind of started the conversation that a lot of journal staffers and journal editors are highly involved. So, you know, you should feel comfortable knowing that you can manage this as well as a dean's fellowship or an externship or what have you. It's all doable. It's a matter of time management and knowing when you do your best work, I think.
I think one of the things I'm going to say is, so the second semester of 1L year can be a little can be challenging, in part because there are all these things being thrown at you, all these boxes that in theory you're supposed to check. All of our staffers do a number of things. So are on moot court, on mock trial, PILPG, and so on and so forth. We have externships. And it is very important that you get as many experiences as possible while keeping in mind that you don't want to sign up for too many things. And I say that because you want all of your experiences to be valuable. And your journal experience will absolutely be valuable. And so you want to make sure that in committing to three or four or five or six different things, that you have allotted the required time that you need for each of those things.
All right, I have two more questions, and then we're going to open up the floor to you guys. So when would journal duties begin for a student who joined via the write-on process? Mary, for you guys.
You have orientation, as Meredith said earlier, directly following your offer. So I think you get your offers on Friday, and orientation is on Saturday. That's true for all the journals. For ILR, maybe for all the other journals, your duties essentially begin in the summertime. Once you've been trained, you will begin spading right after I graduate. Have fun.
Anyone else have anything different? Or?
Yeah,
that's about the same.
Okay.
When do you all do your first comment trainings?
Right after finals.
Yeah. So around that time.
And just a note on comments, too. What we do in LarView, and I don't know if you all do, but we give our incoming staffers an option to choose when they want to write their comment based on what their schedule is looking like for the next year. We have four options to choose from. Some people want to start right away, right during the summer. That's what I did, and that's what really worked for me. I had just a 9-to-5 summer externship, which allowed me to work at night. That was great. Some people are out of town doing other things. They'd rather write during the fall, the winter, or the springtime. You get the option to choose when you want to write. Yeah. Is that the same for you all?
Yeah. Okay. Last question. For anyone who's interested in studying abroad, how does your journal accommodate that, or are they able to do that?
We've had a number of staffers this year, I can think of three, who have studied abroad. And the journal will absolutely work with you to accommodate that. You are still required to meet your hours, but we will do little things. For instance, if you're doing source collection, we will give you only the sources that can be done online, as opposed to book sources. And there are times when really it's not feasible, but more often than not, the journal will absolutely work with you. And And the only requirement really is that you fulfill your hours requirement. So when you get back, maybe that means you work a little harder, but we will accommodate that.
Same for LaRavie. We have a staff member in Paris right now, a couple in Beijing. It's completely fine. They easily meet their hours requirement. One cool thing is a lot of what we do can be done electronically and remotely, so it's flexible. We're happy to have you study abroad. The only thing is, if you, as a 3L, you want to be on the editorial board, there are some restrictions about what you can do there. If you want a leadership position, it just makes the most sense for you to be in the law school for that, obviously.
Exactly.
Similar. There are certain executive board positions that would allow you to work from abroad. There are a few, not that many, but we do provide opportunities for folks that also want to go abroad and be on the executive board.
Great. All right, so really quickly, I just wanted to flash our contact information up here. If you have questions about journal, feel free to email. However, if you have logistical questions about write-on, please hold those until after the mandatory meetings on the 24th and 25th. I will absolutely not respond to those until then, because it's simply there are too many of you for me to respond to all the questions that I promise you I will address come the end of February. Like we said, please go to the open house. All of these individuals and their fabulous staffs will be waiting to see your smiling faces and have you help them eat all the baked goods. Okay, now I think we have like 10 or so minutes left before this room probably becomes occupied. Questions from you guys. What have we not covered that you're interested in? Anything?
So you touched briefly on the difference between a journal and a brief, but you said that some of your members are on briefs. What do you see as like the major difference besides the resume?
Who wants to tackle that?
I can start. So I'm actually not on a brief, nor have I ever worked on one, but I have a dear friend who's the EIC of a brief, and I've heard a lot about the experience. I think it's just and you guys please interject if you think this is wrong or you have something to add. I think it's a very different and kind of more flexible publication process, as far as I understand, not in terms of like your deadlines and things like that, but that they have, you know, we usually follow a pretty strict, you know, what our content is going to include. Briefs are kind of, I think of them more as like academic magazines, you know what I mean? They have like short pieces, they'll have special sections. They may have more opportunity in that sense for students to write short pieces, which is why a lot of people, like was mentioned, you don't necessarily have to be a 2L to be on one either, things like that. They're a little more flexible in that sense, and they offer a really great chance to get that writing experience. So it's not a couple of people on our, even who are articles editors now, are also EICs of their briefs because they wanted to pursue a particular subject area. And if you look across the briefs, they really hone in on particular topics. We have
eight or ten briefs.
Quite a few briefs, and they really do kind of like they zero in on topics, and so they offer an opportunity to kind of separately show and in addition show something in terms of your topic interest and your devotion to a particular field. That's something that I think would maybe come across in addition to your comment topic maybe for any of the law reviews. A brief could kind of be used that way to separate your experience a little bit, and then to get the editing and writing a little earlier on.
But I think one of the other main differences is that I don't know that any of the briefs require you to write anything.
No.
That's my understanding. However, there are many journal staffers who, while their comment might not have been selected for publication in their own law journal, their journal will certainly work with them to either publish in one of the WCL briefs, or also a lot of the journals host kind of meetings and work with the librarians to actually have you send out your comment to outside journals. So, you know, hypothetically, you could be published in, you know, the William & Mary Law Journal or the University of Virginia Law Review or what have you. And that would just vary by particular journal, but generally they have policies of, you know, wanting to get their staffers' names out there. So that's also, you know, possible.
The only logistical difference with briefs is because of the accreditation difference, you can't get credit.
Right.
So that is also something that happens.
And you can't put it on your resume as a law review, a law journal. Question.
Can you be on journal if you're trying to do a dual degree program abroad?
You can't. In the instance I talked about earlier, a particular student just got on my board and he's doing a program in Australia. And he's going to be our technical editor, which doesn't require him to be physically here, but he is doing that program and it's a journal.
That holds true for,
I think so.
Yeah,
yes, it can.
Great. I believe it starts your third year. It's not too well.
So you'd still have to do your full first year as a junior staff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, so you mentioned that after you get accepted to a journal, then there's the orientation, then you start working during the summer. Now, is that something you have to be, like, or if you want to work on your comment, is that something you have to be in the school for, or can you be, like, not here and do it?
Anywhere.
I just want to make sure, because you mentioned that there are some, I guess, things that you need to do with books and things like that.
Right.
It's okay to do some work.
Absolutely. You can do that. You can do it from anywhere. I mean, my first summer, I worked down in Southeast Virginia, started writing my comment. I wasn't in D.C. and still was able to easily fulfill, you know, all my journal requirements.
I have two questions. First is, can you still get the upper level writing credit if your note isn't published?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So right, that's you can get the credit for upper level writing. So the school has its own standards to for a written piece to qualify as an upper level writing requirement. Generally, I think you'll find that all of our journals' requirements for your comment are actually more rigorous than those of the school, which means that in order for your comment requirement to be fulfilled, you have to publish a piece, or excuse me, you have to write a piece of publishable quality. Now, so that means even if your piece isn't selected for publication, it still must be of publishable quality. It's that good faith effort. That standard, like I said, is generally higher than what the administration is going to require, which, what is it, a paper with a grade of a C?
Yeah.
Something. You're not going to be doing C work for these people. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Is it, do you all, so it's a sign-off at each level of your comment, basically, that you're already going through those processes,
right,
and you're working with a professor, which you would probably be doing anyway, just because we're all learning while you're, as you're writing, and so you usually have a faculty member guiding you regardless, and so some people get that paper signed.
Do you have a second question?
When I think about it, I think it's actually related to write-on, so.
Okay, yeah, hold that for me. Thanks. What else? Well, we have like 5 more minutes. You know, you guys feel free to come up here. Please take issues of these books. One thing I will say is academic legal writing is different than practitioner writing, which is what you guys are all learning in legal rhetoric. One of the only ways to really understand the difference is to read one of these issues. So please come up, take a book, talk to our panelists, and go to the open house. Otherwise, please do remember to sign up on the competitions portal of MyWCL, and I will look forward to seeing you all at the mandatory meeting at the end of February. Thank
you,
guys.
If you haven't picked it up yet, here's the information sheet on all the journals. It's got a little blurb about each of us. So go ahead and get this.